The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on July 26, 1995 in Malaysia. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 11, Verse 7. The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on July 26, 1995 in Malaysia. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 11, Verse 7.
Jayo Jayo Mrityu
Jayo Jayo Mrityu
Sarvesham Syuranukramat
Sarvesham Syuranukramat.
Muni Maharaj replied,
all those present
on this battlefield are certainly under the influence of eternal time, and according to their prescribed activity, they are destined to receive fame, victory,
defeat, and death,
one after another.
Bali
Maharaj replied, all those present on this battlefield are certainly under the influence of eternal time, and according to their prescribed activities, they are destined to receive fame, victory, defeat, and death one after another. Purport, if one is victorious on the battlefield, he becomes famous. If one is not victorious but is defeated, he may die. Both victory and defeat are possible whether on such a battlefield as this or on the battlefield of the struggle for existence. Everybody knows English here? Who doesn't know? They can sit by someone in their translation. According to the... Everything takes place according to the laws of nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha. Since everyone without exception is subject to the modes of material nature, whether one is victorious or defeated, he is not independent, but is under the control of material nature. Bali Maharaj, therefore, was sensible. He knew that the fighting was arranged by eternal time, and that under time's influence one must accept the results of one's own activities. Therefore, even though Indra threatened that he would now kill Bali Maharaj by releasing the thunderbolt, Bali Maharaja was not at all afraid. This is the spirit of a kshatriya. Yudhe chapya palayanam. Bhagavad Gita 18:43. A kshatriya must be tolerant in all circumstances, especially on the battlefield. Thus, Bali Maharaj asserted that he was not at all afraid of death, although he was threatened by such a great personality as the King of Heaven. Thus, in Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to chapter 11, text 7, canto 8 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter entitled, Indra Annihilates, King Indra Annihilates the Demons. Mali Maharaj replied, all those present on this battlefield are certainly under the influence of eternal tides, and according to their prescribed activities, they are destined to receive fame, victory, defeat, and death, one after another. Sangrame vartamananam kala chodita karmanam kitir jayo jayo mityu sarvesham syur anukramat. One has to act. Everything in this material world is depending upon our action. On the one side, on the other side, the karma, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the ordinary sequence of events, one is according to the laws of karma and the time factor. Whether one will be successful or not in a particular activity is already destined. Simply one has to play out. Of course, if one doesn't act, then even what might be destined, you won't get. In one sense, it's like someone gives you, nowadays they have these lottery tickets, you can immediately scratch it off and find out whether you won or not. But even someone gives you, if you don't scratch it, you won't know if you won or not. This you have to scratch. Sometimes in our donation box, someone is giving also lottery tickets. So since we didn't buy it, it's not considered gambling. If Krishna won, all right. You can take it. It's his property. In the material world, we all are destined a certain happiness and distress according to karma. So Bali Maharaj, he was bringing this point. Even Indra threatens, I'll kill you. If it's not destined, it won't happen. Ultimately, what will happen is dependent on the Lord and the time factor. He said, I'm not afraid. If I'm supposed to die here, then I'll die here. And if I'm not supposed to die here, even his big talk won't make any difference. So then Bali Maharaj, he understood that, well, whatever is going to happen is going to happen. I have to act. So what if he would say, even if someone knows, see, this is a danger sometimes, people go to astrologer. And astrologer says, oh, their marriage is going to have problems. The person gets all affected and stops trying to make it work. And even divorces them. He says, well, what can I do? Astrologer told me. It's very dangerous if we let ourselves be ruled by what we anticipate to be the karma. Because what we're doing now will affect our future karma. If the person tries to do his dharma correctly, whether it was successful or not, that doesn't matter. But for now, he tries to do his dharma correctly. Then in the future, he'll get a good result. This time, maybe he cannot change it, or maybe he can change it. Maybe such that even he cannot change it. Still, he should do his dharma correctly, his duty. Then, he'll go down, alright, he did his duty correctly, then the next time, he'll get a better result. This is how the laws of karma work. But see, people, they're thinking only about the present situation. Even if they try, they can't change it. Someone brought up the point that some Indians and Bangladeshis, they go to America to get a job to improve themselves. But they say even though they go there and they have more money, that sometimes they analyze that they remain in the same kind of mentality. I don't know if this is true or not. I have no way of studying. It would be interesting study. All these kind of studies are very difficult to ascertain. If somebody's karma was there, then they can go and they can become wealthy. Then according to laws of karma, that will happen. And if someone's karma is not there, even they go there, you see, they may still be struggling. Maybe even if they had stayed in another place, they would have been successful. It was very complicated. So We have to always work for the present and try to do the best we can according to the circumstances that come up. This is in the material side. Now whatever Bali Maharaj is speaking is from the material side. And he's speaking as a true Kshatriya. But he's in the battlefield. He has to go on with the struggle of existence. And whether he is victorious or whether he is defeated, that's out of his hand. But he's going to do his side of it. And if his victory is meant for him, then even Indra and nobody can stand in his way. In the whole history of the universe, Bali Maharaj is one of the few people to be able to defeat Indra and conquer the entire universe. Generally, Indra is always victorious. But sometimes Indra also gets defeated. But it's very rare. Ravana's son, Indrajit, he defeated Indra, that's why he got the name Indrajit. Bali Maharaj, I don't know exactly how many. Few demons, they could be victorious. But generally, very difficult to defeat Indra. That's why he's Indra. He's very powerful. The Prabhupada, in the third part, he brings up this point that in our struggle for existence, we have to also have that same determination to go on with our duty. Biggest danger is when someone becomes depressed. They become hopeless. Even Arjuna, he became hopeless. He thought, well, I won't be happy. If I fight and I win, I'll also be unhappy because I'll be killing all my brothers and the win I had to defeat Bhima, Bhishma and Dronacharya, who I respect so much. Without them, how can I be happy? So mentally he figured out that this way I won't be happy, and if I get defeated, I won't be happy. I'll be dead. So what is the use of fighting? It's a no-win situation. Nowadays in the material world, people are very much conscious about whether I'm going to win or not. This Kshatriya Bhav is not so prominent. Previously people would fight whether win or lose, I'm going to fight. This is a Kshatriya mode. Very chivalrous. But nowadays most people, they want to see if I win or not. If I'm not going to win, then why fight? Right? If I'm not going to be successful, then why try? This is their mentality. So that's why all the experts, they say, if you want to arrange something, you try to arrange win-win situation. Everybody wins. Then you can be successful. So this is a good idea, that everybody can win. So that's what they try to do. In our material side, what the real win-win situation, of course, is that when we carry out our duty, we carry out our dharma, because no matter what happens, we're going to win. Bali Maharaj knew that if I carry out what my duties are according to the Shastra, even in this life, if I get defeated by Indra, still dying in the battlefield, I'll be victorious. That's what Krishna told Arjuna, you being a Kshatriya, if you die in a battle, then you go to Swarga, and if you're victorious, you're the king. So from materially, it's always better to just stick it out and fight. Don't run away. And if you say, well, you're not interested in either of those two things, then in this particular battle, I want to fight this battle because I want to establish a God-conscious kingdom. So you fight for me without thinking about winning or losing. See, Indra and Bali are fighting. Both are thinking about winning. Indra wants to win and Bali wants to win. So it is very difficult to have a win-win situation because in order for Indra to win, he has to defeat Bali. In order for Bali to win, he has to defeat Indra. So how? One victory means the other is failure, vice versa, isn't it? This is a situation you find in the material world where two people have separate interests. So how can you have a win-win situation? In devotional service, it's possible to have a win-win situation because we both have got both parties who have the same interest, which is to please Krishna. The devotees can always have win-win situation because if Krishna is pleased, everybody wins. If my objection is I want Krishna to be pleased, and if someone, Maharaj's objection is to want Krishna to be pleased, and in Siddhi, Sadhana, he wants Krishna to be pleased. So if Krishna is pleased, then we all win. All of our objectives are achieved. So how we can have unity and diversity is that we all have the same objective, that Krishna be pleased. If we have that common objective, then everyone can easily be pleased. But as soon as I have got a separate interest, then sometime I'll be happy and sometime I'll be sad. This is the nature of material life. And the whole material world is divided like that into separate divisions. Kali Yuga has divided us in so many separate divisions. So always somebody is happy, someone is sad. What is the most famous program that the materialists make to unify all the countries? Apart from the United Nations, is the Olympics, right? They say this is how we unify all the countries, they all come together. But what they're doing, they're all coming together and competing, who will win? Someone will get the gold medal, and someone will get the silver medal, and someone will get the bronze medal, and others will get no medal. Right? So then, country like Malaysia, which has only maybe how many million? It's very hard to get medals. If somebody gets any medal, then the whole country becomes very happy. He becomes national hero. But in America or Russia and all these places, they have big population. They're spending so much money. If somebody only gets a medal in a very famous sport, then anybody knows. Otherwise, someone may get medals in riflery or horse riding or something, nobody cares. They don't know. This is one of the number, 118 gold medals. Who got the gold medal? Hardly anyone noticed. But if someone get even a gold medal in ping pong or anything, you know, the national hero in Thailand, bronze medal one person got for boxing. He was paraded to the streets throwing flowers, right? For bronze medal. It's the only medal Thailand got. But what they're doing there, sometimes India gets no medal. So many people, but they're not so much, this athletic nowadays is a very scientific, they exercise, diet, this, that, they have computers figuring out how much muscle weight, you have to go like this 1,000 times, you have to go like this, so many things they're doing. Anything to waste the valuable human life. They're going this after that medal. Why? Because you get the medal, then you get sponsorship. You can wear a t-shirt with a special name and they'll pay you lakhs of dollars to wear a t-shirt, shoes, tennis racket. But all this effort, what it's creating is division. In the name of unity, everyone goes and has a sport together. But ultimately people are frustrated why I didn't get any medals. So therefore they are taking drugs, this what they call steroids to build up the muscles, they're getting caught, they're cheating. Even recently one bicyclist was killed while going on the turn, someone pushed him off the bike and he rolled and he was killed. So very dangerous. Because people want to win, it becomes such a thing. So we can have United Nations for all of us head of spiritual world. Everyone comes together to chant the holy names. This is not competition that who can chant better. But everyone should chant, and by chanting, everyone becomes happy. I was thinking how when we do the parikrama in Mahavadip, we go for 1.5, 2, 3 hours for kirtan. And every Sunday morning in Bhaktivedanta Manor in London, they have 1 hour kirtan. I was thinking how every temple should have at least one day in a week where they do 1 hour solid kirtan. Or 1 hour. It's already scheduled, like in the, before the Sunday feast, who wants to come, they can come 1 hour of intensive dancing and kirtan. And all disciples I would require, for my anyway, I cannot say for others, but that they should all attend. And also because so many problems get relieved simply by the kirtan. There's a special benediction of Lord Chaitanya. Nowadays we get so much preoccupied with our management, the computer, the planning, the this, the that, that sometimes there's also no time for the kirtan, especially for the leader. The general devotees, they get all the nectar now. So that I also require myself, I have to attend the kirtan. To get that nectar. It's very important that we chant Hare Krishna. This is the Hare Krishna movement. Someone brought up, this is also, we are vegetarian, but sometimes we get no vegetable. Someone was complaining, Atmatata made a South Indian feast. And so they waited to see, oh, it's going to be a big feast for Atmatata. Then there was curd rice, lemon rice, there was coconut rice, tamarind rice, and the plain rice. And they said, Maharaj, what's the feast? This is only rice. This is a South Indian feast, means rice. 5 types of rice. We thought, Maharaj, Prabhu, we're a vegetarian, we have other vegetables also. So there's the next feast. This Hare Krishna movement, we should chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes even in a kirtan, we don't chant Hare Krishna. We do the Hari Bols and this and that, and finally one time Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna should also be chanted for a lot of time. In Bangladesh, one of the interesting things they're still doing today is this 24-hour kirtan. That's another nice thing to do once in a year at least. It's called Naam Yajna. Now I thought that maybe this was a speculated or something, so I studied a little bit. I also talked with some other Swamis. And I found in the books that this was a sacrifice performed by Lord Chaitanya. And there's a whole ritual. The night before, or early in the morning before sunrise at Mangal Arati, or even the night before, they have a puja. And they put out in the Ganga, the kartal, the tulasi, they do a worship to all the paraphernalia of Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. Then they establish one Mangal Ghat. It's a clay pot where they put in, call in the deities, Panchatattva, and also they call in Panchatattva, and then they call in the Guru, the six tattvas. So then they put out asanas for the Panchatattva and for the Guru, each one. Some also put in Radha Govinda on top of that. But the Panchatattva installed in the pot, and they go around, they put a tulasi manch. And they go around with this water pot, four times, put in the side, do arati, and everything is ready. That night before, they chant the Panchatattva mantras, they meditate on Lord Chaitanya, they sing various bhajans and things, and Hare Krishna. But then, finally, when the next morning, when the kirtan begins, it's only Hare Krishna Maha mantra, 24 hours, nothing else. And then we, groups after groups, all organize. Because nowadays there's a big competition who can have the biggest Janmashtami festivals in the world. And there are so many booths going on. Abhishek booth, Prasadam booth, lecture booth, drama booth, Chinese booth. Maybe you can have one month of Harinam Kirtan going on, 24 hours. Another attraction. The thing is that in Bangladesh they have now got polluted because there they do professional groups. So people come as spectator, but Lord Chaitanya's time people were chanting and they're participating. Everyone is chanting. And nobody is professional, they're doing it out of devotion. But the original system was like that, that just before the sunrise they'll start to kirtan or at a particular time. And then they'll go, some do at Mangalarti, then they start. And they'll go chanting, going around and around. When a replacement group will come, they'll chant the Panchatatra outside and do Hare Krishna. They'll come in, they'll do one round together, the old group goes out and the new group stays on until the replacement comes. Of course, you could have also that people are also invited to come and go around with, so everyone can come. But you need a base group to keep it going. That'll go on, Ashtam Paha means all 24 hours until the next morning. Or some people do morning till night, 4 Paha, that's easy. From morning till midnight, that's very easy for Janmashtami. Keeping going the whole day. Then at the end, when they do the 24, I said, I read in, by Govinda Ghosh and by the Vasudev Ghosh, they wrote the song. Then in the morning they go, they take that datta and they go and do a procession through the whole neighborhood. And they go to everyone's house and then take the Lord Chaitanya. You could also put Chaitanya Deity. But they, well, there's no Deity there also. Just for those days they didn't use the Deity, they used the clay pot. Because Lord Chaitanya deities were not used during the presence of Lord Chaitanya. They go through the town, then they come back, and says afterwards they had a little festival where there was one pot of yogurt kept in the corner of the area where they did kirtan. That was called Dahi Mangal. Mangal, and then when the whole yoga was finally finished at Harinam outside, they came back, everything was finished, they take that, and they smash it. Then everybody takes the dahi and throws it at everybody else. Like powered boys playing with each other. Then they all go and take their morning bath and finish. So, there are many other little details, but that's like the basic thing. So this was actually something that Lord Chaitanya, he liked. That when his devotees would organize this 12-hour or 24-hour kirtan. Kirtan was the most important thing. Of course, now we have so many other activities, but kirtan should always be a part of our life and of our week, of our day. So Prabhupada, he created a full day for Mangalarti, Japa, Tulsi Puja, then Guru Pujas, Darshan, class, Gita, Bhagavat, Prasadam. In the morning program, so many activities are done. Most of the important activities of spiritual life are already performed. It's very important. When we perform all the different spiritual activities, this purifies us. This brings up our spiritual consciousness. When we perform more material activities by the contamination of the material world, we tend to get covered up and we start to feel stress and anxieties because this material world is a hard struggle for existence. Now some people are like the Kshatriya, they're very strong and in spite of all this difficulty they just can go on by knowing that whatever is going to happen is going to happen, I have to do my duty. A lot of people, they don't have that strength. They get really frustrated. That's why so many people, they become alcoholics or drug addicts. It's hard to face. The other way is that this is also, then everything is destroyed. It's very bad. How to get the strength to survive all these struggles? If one doesn't have that nature. That the strength we get by taking shelter of Krishna. With Krishna's mercy, if we carry out our duty to please Krishna, then he guarantees to Arjuna, you'll come back to me. This is much better than this Kshatriya who only go to Swarga, only go to the sun planet. The devotee will get Krishna whether he wins or loses. So in losing he wins, and winning he wins. Normally if a person loses, they become very frustrated, and if they win, they become very happy. But for the devotee, if he loses, he wins. If he wins, he wins. The real winning for him is to get Krishna. Materially winning, he knows sometime I may win, sometime I may lose. Sometime I'll be successful materially, sometime I may not. I have to go on with my devotional service. The Pandavas, they faced defeat and they tasted victory. They tasted both. They were defeated in the dice game by cheating. Therefore, they got exiled. And Draupadi was insulted. For them, this was very painful. But they kept on with their devotional service. They never lost their faith in Krishna. Kept on with their activities. So this is what we have to do, is keep on with our devotional activities. Side by side, the material life and the spiritual life will go on. Ishupanishad tells us we have to see both the sides. While we're living in the material world, there's a material life. And the material life runs according to its own rules and regulations. But the spiritual life runs according to different rules and regulations. So the two, if someone's a grihastha, or someone is dealing with the material world, like now being a society, we have to deal with the government, we have to deal with the police, we have to deal with so many people in society. So managing a society means that we have to do a lot of so-called material dealings. Especially those who are in the management, those who are just doing the harinam, or doing the book distribution, they are free. Those who are doing the puja, they may not have to worry about how the bills are paid. They can just do the devotional activities related with puja. So that's very nice. Prabhupada said, well, everyone shouldn't have to be involved in the management. Nowadays, in the modern world, the whole world, everybody is involved with the managing the problems of the world, right? Every day you read the paper, this problem in Bosnia, this problem in Chechnya, this problem. It's like, it's not... Now all the problems of the world become everybody's problem. Before, these problems would be dealt with by Kshatriyas. And the Kshatriyas would fight the Kshatriyas. And whoever won, they'd come back, you know, it would be the life of the city would go on. The two kings would fight with each other, who came back, now your new ruler is this. Alright. But the government wouldn't, the system of government wouldn't change, the laws wouldn't change. Simply the person who was administrating would change. Because they were all following the codes of Manu. But nowadays, because of irreligion, everybody gets fighting because one crazy person, they can, if they fight a war, it won't be a war against only the rulers. It'll be against the men, the women, the children, against everybody. They found even recently in Iraq, they had a biological war weapon. That means disease. Blow off a bomb which explodes disease and kill the population by disease, incurable disease. Some people say the AIDS is actually also coming from this kind of disease testing that some government did. Who can say? So much speculation goes on, so many rumors, one doesn't know what is the real truth. But nothing is impossible. This officially outlawed in the world to do biological warfare, but who knows? Who is the testing on these things? It's an inexpensive way to kill your enemy by bugs. Bugs don't cost much. Nuclear weapon costs a lot. So all these things are being done behind the scenes. They're not thinking about how to only just, they're following the old Vedic rule. They're very ruthless. So what happens? The whole world gets preoccupied with these things. And in this way, the life time is wasted. Prabhupada wanted to let people concentrate on their devotional service. Everyone doesn't have to deal with the management. Those who are into management, who are given that responsibility, they'll deal with management. Others, someone will deal with sankirtan, some with congregational preaching, some with book distribution, some with puja, some with office work. Not everyone has to deal with everything. If everybody deals with everything, that means and then there's no time for the preaching. No time to think about Krishna. Someone who is able to both do the management and think about Krishna, then he has to do that service. But for some people it becomes overwhelming, so they can just preach. And spiritually nothing is higher or lower. Every service we do is transcendental. The important thing is that we're serving Krishna. At one point in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said he wanted to start a program to give some recognition to devotees for their ability to do a particular service. He said in the society there's too much focus simply upon doing activity management. So people are seeing that if I can go up as a Namha leader, temple leader, regional leader, zonal leader, this will be success. But it's not a real success. Real success is to be Krishna conscious. Even being a sannyas for so many years, it's not the real success. The real success is if I can be Krishna conscious. If I can get love for Godhead, that is the real success. All the other activities are simply to help us to become Krishna conscious. What may be helpful for one person may not be helpful for someone else. Sannyas may be helpful for one person, but it may be detrimental for someone else. Household life may be helpful for one person, but it may be detrimental for someone else. So according to one's nature, according to one's situation, someone accepts Grihastha life and someone accepts Sannyas life. Everyone needs to go on with their devotional service according to their particular ashram. They'll act in a particular way. We need also responsible grihasthas, because the grihasthas, men and women, they are better suited to deal with the family problems and family affairs and with the Maharaji's affairs. With the brahmachari managers and sannyasis have to always give counseling to the Maharajis, then sometimes the person being counseled thinks that this person cares about me, nobody cares about me, this person cares about me, and they start to feel romantic. Actually, we care about everyone. It's our duty to care. But we want to keep it at a higher spiritual level. We care spiritually. But sometimes then the idea comes in the mind romantically. And this is not the purpose of Krishna consciousness, to promote the romanticism. We care about everyone. We care about people. But we don't want to bring it to the mundane level. Husband and wife, they have a certain degree of the romantic life. But that's the end of it. For everybody else, it's prohibited. So this is a thing that has to be, even amongst Vihastas is very dangerous. Some Vihastas may be counseling a Maharaji, that Maharaji may also start feeling attached. And it's very important then that Vihastas has a strong relationship with his own wife, or may work with a Maharaji preaching to a man, it could go the other way. They have to be very bonded in their own Krishna conscious married life, and be well communicating and see their own weakness, and if there's a problem, have someone else start talking to that person. Kali Yuga is very dangerous. And the Vedas say that we should never be alone, even with mother, sister and daughter. When they're in a fully developed state, we shouldn't be alone with them, because talking in a solitary place for some time, because nature is like that, one may get attached. So that's why even when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, he would always, and all sannyasis, only talk to Maharaji with another person. That's because the rule is like that. One time a lady came, elderly lady, fairly elderly, and she asked Bhakti Siddhanta, "I want to speak with you alone." And he said that, "I can't allow it. Somebody has to be here with me. These are all trusted people, you can speak, no problem." No, "I want to speak with you alone. Come on, I'm sorry, I can't." So, but even amongst Vyasa, it doesn't mean that nature is there. You know, wife has to also always be watching out for husband, husband for wife. Material nature is very dangerous. We want to help people. We want to preach to people. We want to care about people, but we have to keep it on a spiritual platform. So because we have varieties of services, varieties of people that need help and counseling and want to discuss things, therefore we need all of the devotees to become very strong in their Krishna consciousness and help in preaching. There may be some people that can only be reached by a grihastha, and some people can only be reached by a sannyasi, and some people can only be reached by a young person. Then later they start to relate with other people of different ages in Krishna consciousness. It doesn't take long, but initially when they're in Maya consciousness, sometimes they don't want to hear from old people. They just see the old body and they think that they must be different. But in the platform of Krishna consciousness, we can go through the generation gap to a large degree. But for preaching and for some association, sometimes people like to meet in a similar group. So this was recommended by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that people of a like mind, they can meet together. They can be friends together. So we find also that now, just like the Namahatas, they develop, and sometimes there are many, many people are coming. Last night so many people came here, it was overloaded. The stairway was full, under the stairway, this side, outside, no room, overcrowded. That's successful, that's very good when so many people come to a program. And that is very inspiring when people come and they give association with many devotees. But then what happens is in the big program, sometimes you find people only come to the big program. Then you don't see them. So what happens, because in the big program it's excitement, they come, but it's also impersonal. Nobody has time to deal with everybody individually. So there's also that importance of having the small gatherings. Just like in a big temple you have the Sankirtan groups, they go out. So now we're seeing in congregational preaching that we also need to organize the congregation in the smaller groups. We don't know what is the best Krishna conscious name for these groups. Love and trust group, friendship group. Some we have to get some inspiration. But even within a Namhata, there may be 50 people, you may need 5 groups to get together also and discuss and to work together for some Krishna conscious project, like small teams, action teams. But there's an opportunity to work together to discuss Krishna consciousness and to do something. And when working together in a smaller group, then also people tend to reveal their mind easier, they tend to help each other easier. It's easier to organize things also. We saw that, as a manager, I always know that in a small temple, everybody does everything. Someone sometimes has to do the puja, has to do the cooking, has to do the kirtan, has to, they learn to do all the things. You get in a very big temple, it becomes specialist. Only does puja, only does cooking, only does book distribution. And so sometimes what happens is people get lost. In Mayapur, sometimes you don't see someone for 2 months. Might be like that. You get so big. One new bhakta said that when I was in new bhakta program, they would see whether I got up from Mangalar and everything. Once I graduated, went in the ashram, nobody's there to see whether I get up, what I do. So I'm in Maya, I sleep too late, I miss Mangalar, nobody says anything to me. So there's a danger when you get such a big quantity, that then nobody takes care of the individual. So now I'm understanding also there's importance to divide up even the congregation into the smaller groups where there's some special care. They care for each other and they do this, they do some devotional service. So we think of a good name for these groups, but this seems to be important also. That way, if we have a small group, sometimes there may be a group of the Chinese devotees get together and they can think how to make more Chinese devotees. They come together in the big group once a week and have the big kirtan, but in a small way they get together and they discuss their own Krishna consciousness, and they have a kind of little organized mini program, and they also plan out how to preach. There may be a Maharaji's subgroup, maybe a youth subgroup, children's subgroup, different kinds of groups. So this way you get a more dynamic. That everybody starts to think that I have a duty also to spread Krishna consciousness. So right now we think of Bali Maharaj, he's saying, alright, Indra, I'm going to fight. Whatever happens, I don't care because it's all ordained. In another sense, we can compare this hard struggle of existence. We can also compare, right now we're at war. Lord Chaitanya and his followers have declared war on Kali Yuga. And this morning our Palaka Krishna, he was asking me, who's winning the war? It seems Maya is increasing and also some Krishna consciousness is increasing. But right now, still Maya is very much advanced. But we are starting to infiltrate, but actually how we can increase? Unless every devotee takes up the Krishna consciousness, every Madhaji, every, you know, Sitaji, every young person, we need everyone. You see now, sometimes in these revolutionary wars, they like with this going on in Sri Lanka, they're putting out the kids. You see? All there and fight, you know. Of course, we're not just, we don't want to suicidal. That's not what we're, but I'm just saying, like, when it's a crisis, they let everyone go out. We are protected by Krishna. And the only way anybody can fight in this spiritual transcendental war, they have to become armored, like tank, with their Krishna consciousness. We don't want to send people out like they're sending people suicide missions. We want to build people up, let them become strong, let them know what is their Krishna consciousness, let them be very enthusiastic, and then send them out for preaching. But if only the head of the group preaches, and others think, okay, I come once a week, I attend the group class, and then I don't have anything else to do. How the movement will spread? How many agents are preaching Maya, Malaka Krishna? How many agents of Maya are there in the world? Anybody who is not Krishna conscious is agent of Maya, isn't it? She doesn't spare anyone. Everyone is made agent for her. So like that, who is in Krishna consciousness, everyone has to be agent of Krishna. Everyone has to be, not only has to be practicing, and has to be preaching. This is not my version. I'm not saying a new thing. Maybe I just come to, I'm seeing it very clearly now. It's Lord Chaitanya's order that every human being take up Krishna consciousness and give it to others. The two things are there. We have to perfect our life, janma shakta kori koro poru pukar, and we have to give it to others. As much as we perfect ourselves, so much more we are equipped to help others. This way some person, he may be able to help thousands of people, and one person may be able to help one person. But to whatever extent we get Krishna consciousness, we can help someone else. And this is the big battle that's going on now. And the only way that Krishna consciousness can win is that everybody becomes a warrior. All of what you have to become. Whether you become a Rati, or Ati Rati, or Maharati, or whether you're a foot soldier, or whatever. But everyone needs to become empowered, and when Maya overtakes, because of carelessness, then it's a loss for all of us. Sometime a devotee prematurely, or was very careless, and they fall into some Maya, and it becomes like a disgrace, it harms all of us, isn't it? So that's why every one of us is interested in everyone else, because any one of your victory is all of our victory. And any one of your defeat is defeat for all of us. When one person is lost to Maya, we all suffer. We all feel for that person. And that means one less person is fighting in the army of Krishna to deliver the conditioned souls. And if one person is successful in bringing many devotees, then it's good for all of us. In a spiritual vision. Materially may also say, but we'd say even as we're only thinking spiritual vision. You can also bring it to material vision, you know, how many other ways we benefit. But that's not my point. That is also there simultaneously. So it's very important that We have programs which develop all of the members of the congregation and all the members of the temple, and everyone helps in their way. Of course, in a temple, it's a team effort. So in a temple, someone does the puja, and someone is doing the cooking, and someone is doing the preaching. So they work together as a team. Actually, what I realize is congregational programs is even a better opportunity to be a preacher in many ways, because in a congregation, everyone can be a preacher. Because you have to be a preacher. If you're living in a temple, you can even live without preaching. Because you're already protected. So you're in the ashram, you can be cooking and doing the puja. You may or may not preach. You're preaching, but because you're there, the whole temple is preaching, so you're getting the benefit. But to be a success, you need to be in a preaching mood. But to be living in a congregation means living in your house. Just to live there, people are going to say, why are you doing this? Because you're always associating with people. Your brother, your sister, your mother, your uncle, your grandfather. And why you're a young man, why you're a young woman, why you're chanting japa now? Wait till you get old and ready to die. So you have to always be facing all these things. Because you're there in the middle of the enemy camp, no? And you have, maybe you're working 5 days a week. You don't get to preach every day. But maybe some people, even while they're working, they can preach. That depends on their ingenuity, the environment that they're in. But every week they should go and do some preaching. They have the opportunity to at least one day a week go in the evening or sometime and go do some preaching. They do have the opportunity if they take it. We should give every one of them the opportunity. And so we'll see that one devotee will come and set up a place like here in Butterworth. He'll open the door, invite people to come. The place, some 5 people, 10 people, 50 people, then it gets a full house, right? Then at a certain point, it kind of gets stuck. Because he's preaching. But if the other people don't preach, how will it go? That's where dividing up and making teams, smaller teams, and getting them to preach, even making up, you may find this program is so big, you train up an assistant leader. And then they say, okay, let's have 2 programs in Butterworth. Well, this house, either we have to get a bigger house, or we have to have 2 programs. This house is too small, or maybe just because I was here, it's full. But say, even in a general way, if the house becomes full, then you go on making more and more programs, and then you get 20 groups. But then all the groups that come together, and what they're doing in some Christian groups now, they get so many groups like this, that what they do is they're building a stadium. 25,000 people gather together once in a week in a stadium. And this is a special only for the religious purpose stadium. So you see, in this way, you can have a small group, then you have a bigger gathering, the congregation, and in the future we'll have so many groups that you'll find in Penang, DM, Butterworth, all the whole north, they're going to end up buying a big stadium. And having a 2-hour for a big kirtan, then slideshow, this, that, the whole, you know, very dynamic preaching. It's not impossible. And then somebody goes to that program, they get fired up. Wow! Right? But then after that, they'll get lost also because 25,000. And then you have to say, no, you want to be part of this, you have to join one of the small groups. So we keep track of you, otherwise, you know, it's pretty hard to keep track. So this is interesting. We've been discussing this concept now this year amongst GBCs and big leader Rabindra Swarup. He said, I can see in the future we're going to have like a special shopping mall temple. Like complex. Here in Malaysia is also famous, this big complex. What he meant to say is like, you go in the big supermarket, you get everything. Here we'll have one big temple room where they'll be going on kirtan for hours and hours. Who like kirtan? They go on, kirtan doesn't stop for the class. This goes on. Viva Sindhu will be there dancing and chanting the whole day. Right? Somebody go in for half hour, get the kirtan, then they go, then there'll be another bigger class is going on. Every 2 hours, one after another class. Then he said, that'll be a place you go in for a japa workshop. You go in for japa, they teach you everything. Japa workshop. Then puja workshop. You go in training room, altar, this is how you do that. People come up, they can do that, know how to do that. Puja, everything. Puja training. Like that, he started imagining all this. Entire spiritual conflict. Plus, big Govinda restaurant. You go in. You can get spiritual prasadam, Chinese food, Italian food, South Indian food. Like that he starts thinking, you know, oh, spiritual, Mahaprasad complex. Maybe his vision will be the vision, who can say. It's interesting. But it's nice to have an idea as to how, even in this urban setting, the developing setting, how we can spread. Of course, we also want to take people out of this urban setting to the country, where we can have show them that there's also a country life. This is what the modern people are forgetting. They think that the trees are only for growing palm oil. They don't know that living in a country also for living, and that's also nice. Anyway, but the overall point I wanted to make was just like Bali Maharaj was in this determination. We have to be in the battle. We should understand there's a battle against Maya. We have to all become determined. And we have to prepare ourselves how we can spread Krishna consciousness to others. People become Krishna conscious because they hear from other people. Even if someone comes and listens to Maya lecture or Baba Vishnu Maharaj's lecture, Maharaj's lecture, anybody's lecture, they may get inspired. But usually it's the individual devotee who go and talk to them, explain the things to them, and care about their own, their spiritual life who make the difference. One is like a big inspiration maybe. But then how to put that into, how to take that, it may give like a seed, but someone has to go and water the seed, cultivate it, take care of it. Both the things are needed. And nowadays the guru doesn't have time to train each of his disciples, and in most cases they have to travel and do so many things. So there needs the help of all the devotees to care for the other devotees on behalf of the guru. And if there's a problem, report to the guru, this devotee needs your special care. The guru can only help with the special cases, with the extreme need. Like in the hospital, they bring the doctor in when it's a critical case. Otherwise, just to change the bandage, they don't bring the doctor. That the nurse can do it. And if a little problem, they bring assistant doctor in. He can assist and do that. But when it's a serious problem, then they bring in the big doctor, the personal doctor, to make the decision what to do. So like that, we have to work. The Prabhupada said it's a spiritual hospital. But everybody is simultaneously a patient as well as a doctor, nurse. You see, as you become doctor means you become less of a patient. But the nurses may be also simultaneously nurse and patient. And some may be only patient. That's a new bhakti program. But as you grow up, then you have to become also more and more doctor while you're curing yourself. So thank you all very much. I've overextended again. Hare Krishna. Any question? I think that's a Malaysian Rath Yatra is keeping the country united. Dance for the whole afternoon.
We are not chanting, we are all joined Maya. Fighting, delusion, idolatry. After last we are fighting.
Need for more kirtan.
It's always amazing that when you break it down, then it doesn't make a telephone for the individual. And we have the, when they have like a family in the family, come in front of the nation, then they need their friends, because you can't be together with the family, because then it's a group thing. So there's so many levels of like
just like Krishna has his interest, Lord Chaitanya has his interest. It's a very broad interest. Prabhupada has his interest. Whatever we can do which is within that parameter, it's alright. You may not be able to do everything. Just like this, Namavida Bhakti, nine pulses of devotion. We can do one, it's alright. We can do all nine, very good. So as long as the individual, the group, the collective, the family interests are within the overall interest, there won't be a problem. But when those interests have become outside of the overall interest, then there's a problem. You don't have to be afraid about that there'll be friendship, or that there'll be grouping, or that there'll be family. As long as they all accept that their interest should be also the interest of Prabhupada, interest of Lord Chaitanya, family has also to maintain itself. But that is also to our interest if our families are well maintained, if they are producing income, if they are giving from their income regularly to Krishna, then it's also important. If a congregational grihasthas are giving a lot of money according to their varnashram, grihasthas supposed to be the stomach. If they're giving to the temple, then the brahmacharis can be free for just preaching without collecting, just doing a fundraising. Like in some temples which don't have a big congregation, in some parts of the world, you find all the temple devotees are going out selling paintings, selling candles, selling t-shirts, selling. Because they don't have a kind of, so all the priests are only selling to maintain the building and the temple. So then what happens is they become a vicious circle because they're not, don't have a congregation, they have to do all the work. Because they're doing all the work, they don't have time to make a congregation. So now what we're trying to do is to build up the congregation. Congregation should understand their duty is to maintain the temple and free the devotees of the temple, that brahmacharis and renounced brahmanas, the very simple brahmanas who are maintained by the temples, that they want to see them preach. And this is happening now in Atlanta temple. I saw that now as the congregation, they paid the mortgage off, they become very active, but then they start saying, look at why so many devotees are in the temple who aren't doing anything. When we want to see everybody go to Mangal Arati, you're all being in the temple. The congregation is demanding. They notice who's doing what. And they start, as they get a little more mature, they put pressure. They say, why this Vyasa is staying in the temple? He's not doing any service for the temple. It's an outside job. So what's he doing in the temple? Better he live outside. Like, all the big pressure. Actually, the congregation puts a lot of pressure on the temple devotees to just do preaching. They want, this is Varnashram. So actually our system is a bit following the Daiva Varnashram. Who lives in a temple should be the Brahmachari, Vairagi, the Brahmachari, Vanaprasth and Sannyas, and if it's maintained by a temple, also the those who are the Brahmana, Grihasthas, who are living in a simple way and simply doing their devotional service for Krishna. These are the four categories that are maintained. And very soon, if you have a congregation supporting the temple, you find other people, they'll complain. Why is that? I don't want to maintain somebody who's not serving the temple. So if our overall interest is very clear, we need to establish what is our overall goal for the society. What are our goals? This is what the centennial was supposed to do, is fix up what are our goals. What are the goals for congregational preaching? What are the goals for book distribution? What are the goals for the spiritual standard? What are the goals for being Prabhupada conscious? Like we have the different categories. What are the goals for management and so on? What are the goals for Harinam? Goals for this 12 petals. If we can achieve, have very clear, it's a good opportunity, make our goals for those 12 petals. And then the devotees can easily say, okay, we have to sit within this area. When somebody doesn't want to cooperate with any of these activities, then they become an outcast. Then it's a problem. But if they can fit within it, then there's no problem. The outcasts who want to bring in the group, why be separatists? There has to be a discipline. We don't want like a guerrilla warfare going on between the centers, between those terrorism. It has to be a smooth cooperation. things have to be settled by the spiritual way. What normally government is supposed to manage things, but when someone doesn't want to follow the government, that means that they act on the outside of the government. That's called guerrilla warfare. I don't like what someone's doing. There's a way of going about that. We talk to the leaders, we convince the leader, we convince that person what you're doing isn't right. This is a direct way. That is a Krishna conscious way. But if I don't like what someone's doing, or I want to do what he's doing, or whatever may be some other interest, and that I cannot achieve, then I think that I can achieve this, my desire may not be Krishna conscious, then we should give it up. But if it is Krishna conscious, we should go about it in the right way. We shouldn't be guerrilla warriors. And then start doing underhanded politics or acting independently or whatever. Guerrilla warfare creates a big, big confusion. What happened is that both the person that's being attacked, he finds it hard to function, and the person that's attacking, they're also disqualified. So this creates a disturbance. Not that the guerrilla warrior gains in Krishna Gaya, he also lose the normal support. So we don't want any guerrilla warrior. We don't want any terrorism. Everything has to be done in a Krishna conscious way. But if we have the different groups, families, friends, whatever, so long as we don't resort to terrorism, so long as we follow the discipline, we work together in a cooperative way, we see that even if that person has a different way of dealing, different way of doing, there may be so many different ways. That's why making more groups is a banner. There may be different groups in different ways. But if the ways fit within the overall approved program, then it's not a problem. That little bit of broad vision we have to have, how to include the different vision. But there will all be a limit. Someone says, I want to start a meat restaurant. No, it doesn't fit within our vision. I want to start this or that, some other program. There's also a strategy. We want to use our manpower in a particular way. So that we have to cooperate. That's what teamwork means. You know, Bali Maharaj was the general. Indra was the general. And some other guy wants to come and say, no, I want to fight with Indra now. You may create this a disturbance, you know. They have to follow a certain, you say there's a war, then you have to follow who's the general. You have to follow the structure. Within that structure, maximum, we want to give people the ability to express the individual potential, individual nature, but within a certain limit. Limits are always there in life. Otherwise, there will be confusion. We can discuss more. Some theories are there that in congregational preaching, you don't need to have limits about area. Let anybody go to whatever program they want. There's some theory like that. Either we haven't discussed it, I don't know. This is some people have that theory. But we have never practiced it yet. So a little bit we're practicing it here. Somebody lives in Penang but they come to Butterworth. Someone lives in Butterworth but they go to BM. Someone lives in PM, they go to PM. So that freedom is there. People can go whichever program they like. But within a particular area, so far we have a particular organization. Because although we don't know yet how else to manage, if someone has a better idea how to manage, they should discuss with the authorities, present their concept, we see if it can work or not, and then we make a change. But thing has to be done systematically. As long as we are committed to, we want to work together, we want to work in the same consciousness, then we can have some cooperation and we can go ahead. And if we don't do that, then there's only trouble. Then I stand to repeat myself, I am here, Hare Krishna.